we want to talk about how we define home in this country. Today in the United States is Columbus Day, a holiday where we're supposed to celebrate the quote-unquote discovery of the United States, despite the fact that natives lived here long before Christopher Columbus arrived. And the holiday gives rise to fundamental questions about ownership, citizenship, and what makes a place your home. And as we debate immigration and who belongs here, these questions have gotten increasingly complicated. My next two guests have thought a lot about this idea. Jose Antonio Vargas is an undocumented immigrant and author of the new book, Dear America, Notes of an Undocumented Citizen. He's also the founder and CEO of Define American. And Julissa Arce is author of Someone Like Me, How One Undocumented Girl Fought for Her American Dream. She was undocumented until 2009 when she got a green card and soon after her citizenship. Welcome to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So I want to open this question to both of you. And maybe we can start with you, Jose. Who is it that gets access to this country? Who gets to have a piece of the quote-unquote American dream, a piece of the pie, a sense of ownership and belonging?
Well, it's a question of history, it's a question of laws, and it's the fact that you can't really separate the question of legality to the question of citizenship, right? I mean, it's interesting that you said that this idea of who gets to discover America, which is like the fundamental question, right? At Define American, we've been very, very intentional in making sure that we say that unless you're Native American or unless you're an African American, right, who was brought here through slavery, you came from somewhere. And it was just a matter of what laws you hit when you got here. I was listening to something about Bill O'Reilly. He likes to say that his great-great-grandparents immigrated to the U.S. the right way. Mm. And that always really struck me because it's part of this whole myth that there was a right way, even though, you know, back when he thought it was the right way, what happened was there was a potato famine and Irish people showed up in this country. There was no border patrol. There was no green card. There was no visa process, right? They showed up. That's why this question of who gets to be at home and who gets to belong and how we define American is really fundamental into the kind of understanding our own history.
Julissa, what about you? Who does get to have access in this country? Who gets a sense of ownership and belonging in the United States?
Yeah, so, you know, this is an interesting question for me because when I first came to the U.S., I went to Texas, to San Antonio, Texas. And in learning the history of Texas, I saw this quote recently that said, "The Americans have taken possession of practically all of the eastern part of Texas, in most cases without the permission of the authorities." And growing up in Texas and learning about the history of Texas, there was this real sense of pride that Texas had gained its independence from Mexico. And now as an adult, learning it not from the history books, but learning it through much broader lens, I've learned so many new things. For example, that even though there was this sense of pride about taking over without the permission and calling a place home because you felt a sense of belonging in that place, to me, that's what it means to belong, right? To find a home. And frankly, I felt American before I had a U.S. passport that said that I was.
Jose, tell us a little bit. You have a new book out. What are you sharing with the American public that's new about your story?
Well, you know, I publicly came out as undocumented more than 7 years ago. And the book for me really started because I didn't really want to write it. I resisted writing this for years. I figured I already come out in the New York Times more than 7 years ago. I've told my story. You know, I don't need to do this. And then the election of Trump happened, and I was living in L.A. I was living in downtown L.A., and the building manager of the apartment I was living in texted me about a month after the election and said, "Hey, I'm not sure if we can protect you if ICE showed up in the apartment building. It may be best for you and for us if you found another place." And so that got me really thinking about what's home. And then for a while, I actually really contemplated moving to Canada. At that point, I'd been in this country for, 24 years?
And undocumented.
Undocumented. Yeah, I have not adjusted my status because there's no way. There's no line. And even marriage, even though same-sex marriage, I'm gay, even though same-sex marriage is legal now, because I had come out 7 years ago against the advice of lawyers who said that the moment you come out and say what you're going to say, we can't help you. There's no way, right? So I had to really think about home. So then this book kind of gave birth. And the fact that I had been spending more than 2 decades of my life living in this country, lying, passing, and hiding, It kind of gave me license to write about myself in a way that's way more personal than I had intended, but also in a way that speaks to the larger experience of what this feels like. Because guess what? The American public doesn't know what this feels like for the most part.
I would have to agree. And Julie, so what about your thoughts on that? What is it that the American public still doesn't get about what it is like to be undocumented in the United States?
I think that the number one question that I get is, why were you undocumented for 14 years? Why didn't you apply sooner? Why didn't you get in the back of the line? And I think what people don't understand is that that line that we often talk about, it's really a mythical place that doesn't exist. There isn't a line. You know, I was able to adjust my status because I got married. From a more emotional standpoint, I didn't realize and I didn't understand what it meant to be undocumented at age 14, which is when I found out I was undocumented. And it was days of not being able to sleep and days of not being able to think about anything else other than my immigration status. And so it does take a very big emotional toll on you. We have an incredibly resilient spirit, which makes it possible for us to be in this country for such a long time, being able to have lives despite being undocumented.
And I guess I would ask you both to close this segment. How do you define this idea of home? Is home the place that you came from? Is it the place that you end up in? Is it defined by the people you surround yourself with? What is home for both of you? Jose.
It wasn't until when I was writing this book, when I got arrested in Texas 4 years ago, back in the Obama era, when people weren't as angry as they were in the past few months because of the kids that were locking up in cages in South Texas. I was sharing a jail cell with boys ages 5 to about 14. And I had convinced myself that to be in this country from age 12 to at that point 33, that I had to earn being here. And it wasn't until I was in that jail cell that I actually concluded that home wasn't something I had to earn. I actually have a right to have a home in the same way that migration is a natural human right. It's why this country was founded, right? So home is not something I have to earn. And home is the people that I surround myself with, the people who make me feel at home, who define what home is and it, at this moment, and who defines what American is for people.
And Julissa, what about for you?
Yeah, I used to think that as soon as I became an American citizen, I could officially call America my home. And I've realized that I didn't need a passport to call America home, because even now that I do have a passport, people still want me to get deported, and they don't think that I'm good enough to be an American citizen, and people still tell me to go back to where I came from. And I've realized that the lifelong struggle of an immigrant is wanting to be in two places at once. When I'm in Mexico, I feel like I'm at home. And when I'm here in Los Angeles with my husband and my two cats, I feel at home. And I've stopped thinking of being an immigrant as something that is less than and something that is more than, because how beautiful is it that I get to call so many different places my home?
Julissa Arce is author of Someone Like Me, How One Undocumented Girl Fought for Her American Dream. Jose Antonio Vargas is author of the new book, Dear America, Notes of an Undocumented Citizen. And he's also the founder and CEO of Define American. Jose Antonio, Julissa, thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.